This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Check out the podcast page. BK was on the show earlier today. Our guy Brandon Kiley out in STL. Laird Veach was on the show. We'll play a little bit of what he had to say coming up at 5:30. He is the Missouri Athletic Director, and we also got a chance to catch up with CC Sabathia. If you missed it, CC Sabathia, he is going into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations to him. He's going in as a member of the New York Yankees. So salute to him. All right, Rob, I would say that there are two things to talk about. One is serious and one is not so serious. Let's start with the very serious topic. Let's talk about George Karlaftis. Now, I cannot confirm this. I am simply getting this from a reliable source on Twitter. So if you don't believe it, that's perfectly fine. I'm not entirely sure if I believe it, but this is coming from somebody who has been pretty reliable. I don't know who this person is, but I do think that he has enough of a track record of getting things right that it is at least something that you can discuss now if he puts out this information. So he puts out this information that the Chiefs are closing in on a new deal on George Karlaftis and expect it to be done during camp. But there is serious momentum towards getting an extension done. This is the thing. I don't really know why George Karlaftis would want to get this deal done. I definitely get why the Chiefs would want to get this deal done. George Karlaftis hasn't made a Pro Bowl. He's not an all-pro caliber player. He only has one season in which he has had double-digit sacks. So if you were talking about getting a player before you think the value could potentially jump, now's the time to buy him. I think that makes this contract negotiation pretty difficult. We went through it a little bit earlier. There is a little bit of a middle tier when it comes to pass rushers. But for example, Nick Bosa is the number one highest paid defensive end in the National Football League. If you were going by total value of the contract, 13th is Abdul Carter, who hasn't played in the NFL yet. That obviously was a high pick in the NFL draft and has a $45 million fully guaranteed deal. So there's just not much of that middle market. You either are a great pass rusher that a team pays you, or you're a veteran on a 1 or 2 year deal. You're a Mike Dana type, for example. Mike Dana is the 25th highest paid defensive end in the National Football League with a 3 year, $24 million deal. Either the Chiefs are about to overpay for a player based on what he has done so far, or George Karlaftis is about to sell himself short, which I don't really understand. You've been a very healthy player. You've been a productive player. Why wouldn't you gamble that you could be Max Crosby? Because if you look at Max Crosby's career, it's kind of like George Karlaftis's. Now, I'm not telling you that I think that's what he's going to do, but I'm simply pointing out if you were going by the sack numbers, this is what Max Crosby did his first couple of years in the National Football League. He had 10 sacks, 7 sacks, and 8 sacks. George Karlaftis had 6 sacks, 10.5 sacks, and 8 sacks. So he's not that far off of where Max Crosby was. Max Crosby then got 12.5 in his fourth season. He got 14.5 in his fifth season. And now people look at him like he's one of the best pass rushers in the league, which he is, and he's the third highest paid defensive end in the National Football League. So if you're George Karlaftis and you are trending to be Max Crosby, you're one season away. You're one good season away from being Max Crosby. You're one really good season away from $90-something million. So either the Chiefs are going to give it to you now and expect you to take the jump to be Max Crosby, even though you haven't been, at least in terms of kind of the totality of his career, or you're going to take Chase Young's contract at $51 million, which is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. It's 3 years, $51 million and 27 guaranteed. But if George Karlaftis has 11 or 11.5 sacks this year, he could get $90 million. That's worth the dice roll to me. It's worth it to me. It's worth the dice roll. I don't get why you would take Mike Dana's contract. Mike Dana got $13 million guaranteed in his deal. The Chiefs are guaranteeing George Karlaftis $13 million just for next season on his rookie contract. He's not Mike Dana. Dana's never been a consistent starter in the league, never had a double-digit sack season. Karlaftis is 24 and been healthy. So again, I understand why the Chiefs want to get this deal done. Buy low, so to speak. I don't know why George Karlaftis wouldn't want to roll the dice on himself and see if he can make himself an extra $30 or $40 million by simply having a great year this upcoming season.
Here's the one thing, and I get what you're saying. From a player perspective, I understand why this makes no sense for Karlaftis. Let's flip the point of view, though. For the team, this is what I was talking about yesterday with Trey Smith and with Nick Bolton. It is better to be ahead of these things than behind these things. And we looked it up earlier. Greg Rousseau, that's the name I'll use. He's a pass rusher for the Bills. No one would call Gregory Rousseau an elite pass rusher. He is solid. He had less sacks last season than Karlaftis. The year before that, he had more than Karlaftis, but they're kind of 6-1 hand, half dozen the other. I'm not looking to have an argument about Greg Rousseau versus George Karlaftis. He had signed an extension. He had signed a 4-year, $80 million extension. Now, it's the NFL, so it's funny money. It's really just 4 for $40 guaranteed. And that is what he signed. If George Karlaftis today is signing a 4 for $80, but in reality, it's only 40 or 45 or 50 guaranteed. If you're the team, you're celebrating that because you then have a player under club control for the next 5 seasons, and you're hoping that if he takes that next step, the one you talked about why the player would wait, if he takes that next step, now he's exceeding the value of his contract. And that's, it's not some deep, you know, cut industry secret that the way you win Super Bowls is you have players outperforming their deals. So if you're the Chiefs, I get why you get ahead of it. You maybe give him a little bit of money where it looks like, wow, that's a big deal. But in reality, if he takes that step forward from an 8, 8.5 sack guy to a 10, 10.5, 11 sack guy, suddenly you're getting great value. So from the team's perspective, I think everything you're saying is why the team would want to do it.
And I guess for me, I guess maybe this is the point that I'm making is, to me, it's just worth it to gamble on myself than to take a Chase Young contract where, yes, I sign. Nothing wrong with making $17 million a year and getting $27 million guaranteed. You can then become underpaid very, very quickly. This is essentially the argument that Terry McLaurin is having, right? This is essentially the argument that Juwan Jennings is having. Hey, when I signed this deal, that is what the market said I was worth. Then I went out and I performed it. And now I am worth double what you guys are currently paying me. So if I know that on the front end and I've only played for 3 years, we're not talking about George Karlaftis is 27, 28. He's 24 years old and he's been healthy and really productive, where I would say he's maybe in the best defensive situation that he's been in. This is your fourth year in a system. Amina, who's healthy from day one. You got Chris Jones on the other side. I'm rolling the dice to see if I can go out there and ball out this season. Someone asked the question, C-Dot, why can't it be somewhere in the middle, 3 for $75? This is where if I'm the Chiefs, I'm not ready to pay this contract. If the Chiefs gave him 3 for $75 right now on a per year average basis, that would make him the sixth highest paid defensive end in the National Football League. I'm just not interested in paying George Karlaftis that right now based on the information that we have. I'm not interested in paying him the sixth highest pass rush guy We think he might be the third best on the Chiefs. And I'm paying him like he's that guy. I'm not interested in doing that at this stage in his career. I always feel like in these, I'm arguing like against the player. You know, I'm all for guys getting paid. I'm not interested in paying a good D lineman a great contract before you prove that you're great. Hey, go out there this upcoming season. We've already picked up your fifth-year option. You know we like you. We're going to give you the snaps. You're going to be on the field. You got a chance to go earn your money. You go out and you put up a 12-sack, 13-sack season. The Chiefs have shown they'll pay you. They've shown that. If you've been a great player that they've drafted, they've paid you. They paid Creed Humphrey. They paid Nick Bolton. They have paid these guys what the market says that they're worth. They've never had a pass rusher like this, I guess, other than Chris Jones, but that was different. That was his third contract. A different organization had drafted him. They've never been in this situation before where they had a 12, 13-sack guy that was now coming up on a contract. Teams don't let that player walk away, not for their second deal. Maybe you do for their third when they start to get injured, but teams are not letting 24, 25-year-old pass rushers just openly hit free agency. So you'll get the money if you just simply wait a year to go get paid.
Now let me ask you this. And this is maybe why the Chiefs are pushing for this, and maybe this is part of the equation that we have to consider. Is it possible that next offseason, the Chiefs won't be able to, you know, take care of their guys that they draft in the back end because there is a more expensive entity that is going to be due up? Whether it's this offseason or next offseason, you and I both know Trent McDuffie is going to make more money than George Karlaftis. They were both first-round picks in 2022, which means their contracts both come available at the exact same time. Is it possible that the Chiefs are racing to get this done now because they know if Karlaftis bets on himself and has that year you're talking about, next offseason they can't be paying a premium D-end and a premium corner. There's not enough money to go around. So I wonder if the way the Chiefs view contracts has changed a little bit because they got two now to take care of.
Which just sounds crazy because they had the money to pay a premium center and a premium right guard. And now we're talking about if Karlaftis gets 12 and a half sacks next year, he prices himself out of what the Chiefs can afford.
We're tiptoeing into that positional value conversation
right,
again.
And basically at this point, you guys are arguing the contract that they just gave their right guard. Now we're arguing about their 24-year-old defensive lineman. This is why I was making the argument about positional value. This is exactly why I was making the argument. Like, you gave Trey Smith $70 million guaranteed. You gave him $70 million guaranteed. That's more money guaranteed than Max Crosby got. That's more money guaranteed than Miles Garrett just got with this deal on side. That's what I was arguing yesterday. So I...
Me and you are on the same page.
No, you and I are on the same page. I'm just saying, right now, if I'm George Karlaftis, I wouldn't take a deal from the Chiefs unless they're going to pay me what the market says that I could turn out to be. I'm just not signing it yet. I'm not mad at that. People are saying, yeah, I'm taking the security blanket. I mean, not a lot of NFL players take that after their third year. I know it sounds great. It sounds great to do. Yeah, of course, I wouldn't bet on myself. But I don't know if NFL players or athletes in general think that way, especially when we're talking big amount of money. We're talking a big amount of money. There's a big difference in being the 10th highest paid defensive end and being the 5th highest paid defensive end. It's a $47 million difference. Montez Swift is fifth. 4 years, $98 million. Chase Young got $51 million. That's a significant amount of money that I'm at least try to see if I can get. If I don't get it, then I don't get it. But I'm at least going to go out there and try to give myself a chance to maximize my earning potential as a football player. Everybody else on the team is. Who hasn't maximized their earning potential?
Well, that's actually, I mean.
Everybody on the team has maximized earning potential. Mahomes is going to make $1 billion from playing football in his life. Travis Kelce just got a new raise. Chris Jones just got paid.
Nick Bolton got paid.
A lot of guys out here, they're getting paid. And nothing wrong with that. Go get paid. I just got to give up $40 million? I'm okay. I'm going to try. Or they're going to pay him this year. And I'm going to be like, wait, we gave George Karlaftis a lot of money. Then comes the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay George Karlaftis the 6th highest paid, I don't want to hear the, oh, he's getting double teamed. Hey, he got 8 sacks. Nah, man, you paid him like he's Max Crosby. Go be Max Crosby. You need 14 and a half sacks this year.
Let me ask you this. And I think I know your answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. If you are George Karlaftis' agent, are you at all worried about the absolute lack of market that Charles Aminihou had last offseason?
He's hurt.
Because the year, but when healthy, you're right, the injury changes the equation a little bit. But when healthy,
Charles Minnehu was a better pass rusher than George Karloftis the year before. And we know from the advanced numbers and stuff, Minnehu's return made Karloftis better. And
I actually don't know,
no
though.
Market for him.
I don't know if it, I don't know. And I know we say sacks and these things are weird numbers. Charles Minnehu has never had a double-digit sack season. And this past year, I mean, he was coming off a year in which he had one sack and six tackles. You ain't getting a whole lot of money if that's the case at 27 years old. So I'm with you. Charles Minnehu is a very good player. Happy to have him on the Chiefs. To me, they're not comparable, if the two. To me, the two comparisons for where we are with George Karloftis are Max Crosby and Aiden Hutchinson. Those are the two deals. Max Crosby didn't give no money back. I don't think Aiden Hutchinson is giving money back. Now we're talking about George Karloftis giving money back. That's just not really how 24-year-old players at premium positions usually operate. We're talking about a guy who could be in the second or third most valuable position on the field. That guy usually isn't passing up substantial amount of money. We can get back to the, I guess we are going to stay with the Chiefs. We can get back to George Karloftis here in a bit. Today is might be a little bit of a sad day for Chiefs Twitter. The Chiefs cut Justin Ross today. Now, I'm not here to make fun of Justin Ross. And I think that Justin Ross is honestly an inspiration. I'm not saying that joking. I'm not saying that to be funny. I think he's an inspiration. For a player to have the amount of injuries and be a player, the only player in the NFL to have the kind of surgery that he had, still make it to the NFL, still register a catch in the National Football League to make it a 53-man roster as an undrafted player, in which there was a large group of teams that simply did not have him on the board and would not take him under any circumstance because of his medicals. To even make it to the National Football League is a tremendous accomplishment. This take is not about Justin Ross. This take is about Chiefs fans. Because for a couple of years, I remember when Justin Ross was first team all training camp. I remember when a Justin Ross OTA's catch would shut down sports talk radio. Everybody was talking about it. It led the show. Can Justin Ross help the Kansas City Chiefs? We got our answer. The answer was no. He couldn't help the Chiefs wide receivers when they didn't have any wide receivers. When they were desperately looking for anybody, they couldn't have guys out there that could catch a cold. They were waiting for somebody. Justin Ross, nowhere to be found. So this isn't about Justin Ross. This is about the training camp all-stars. This is about the Darwin Thompsons. This is about the Luis Reed Zammits. This is about the Casey Printers, the Bobby Scipio. Who was that one guy? I can't remember his name. He was like a Canadian. Weston Dressler.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Who it was. That's what this is about. Remember when Todd Haley said that he could win a championship if you gave him 53 Lance Longs? Remember that? And wasn't that the guy's name? That's what he said. He said, give me 53 of these guys. I could win a chip. That's what this segment is about. It's about first team all training camp. It's about first team all OTAs. First team all mini camp. It's about the Ish Smith Marzettes. It's about the Darice Fountains. Deneric Princes, the Derek Gores, you know, the guys that you just get excited about. They go out to St. Joe. You've been missing football. You haven't had football in a little bit. They haven't put the pads on yet. They're not tackling anybody. And man, you see this guy make one cut, one move, and you start to think, you think you're watching Barry Sanders out there. It's an illusion is what it is. That's what Justin Ross will always be. One day, you and your friends are going to be down in the basement in your man cave. You're going to be drinking a beer. You're going to have a Bud Light in your hand. Your friend's going to have a Michelob Ultra. You're just going to be guys being guys downstairs. Your other friend's going to be on the back playing pool on your pool table. And one of your friends are going to say, hey, do you guys remember Justin Ross? And you guys are going to have a nice 5 to 10 minute conversation about former Chiefs greats, guys whose names should be up in the rafters. At Mo West. I'm not talking about Chiefs Ring of Honor guy. Everybody loves Derek Thomas. Everybody loves Lynn Dawson, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. No, I'm talking about the other Chiefs legends. I'm talking about the guys that dominate August, the August All-Stars. That's where Justin Ross comes in. He had a great Chiefs career, man. Good luck to him. He actually asked for the release. He's not going to make this team. There really isn't any room for him, and he wants a chance to go join a team where he can help them in training camp and have a realistic chance to the roster. I get that. I understand it. Their wide receiver room is a little full. It's a little tight, and he's probably not going to make this team. So good luck to Justin Ross wherever he lands, but I'll always remember that There's been no player over the last 3 years that could shut down sports talk radio and social media in June or May when they're in shorts and shells quite like Justin Ross. He really had a gift.
I mean, the amount of people who thought he was some 600, 700, 800-yard guy just lying in wait is just astonishing to me. Do you know what Justin Ross is actually the opposite of this, but you know what usually happens with training camp guy? Most everyone you mentioned falls in this category. They are small school guy whom the average fan probably did not see play. Derek Gore, I'm pretty sure he went to UAB. UAB stopped football for a while. The average fan was not watching UAB or Southern Miss or Bobby Scipio was an Arena League guy. No one was watching the Arena League. No one has ever watched the Arena League. I can tell based on the television numbers. Luis Rees-Zammit, he was a rugby player. He's never played football ever. It was, we've never seen it. So everyone just assumes the guy they haven't seen, sight unseen, star.
No, you know what was so funny about the Luis Rees-Zammit, and I want to continue to let you cook, is it was the combination of them changing the kickoff rules and bringing him in. Oh, I mean, this is perfect for him. This is kind of like rugby. We don't really fully understand the kickoff rules. We got this really speedy, shifty guy. Did he even make it to St. Joe? I think they cut him before we actually got to St. Joe. Did he even make it there? I'm telling you.
I think he made it up there. I don't think he was up there very long.
Luis Rees-Zammit was here. He was here as an international student. If you were in college, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're not over here for a little bit. You get to do all the American things. You get to associate into the culture. You get to see what it's like. And then eventually you go back home a more well-rounded individual. That's what Luis Rees-Zammit was here for. He was here to meet Patrick Mahomes. He got to eat barbecue a couple of times. I'm sure he done a couple of Kansas City touristy things. Remember he brought that supermodel here and they went to Worlds of Fun.
That was a really big story in town. But like,
that was like a top
story. It was like this time of year. It was like, hey, you know, international sensation at Worlds of Fun with his girlfriend. You're like, whoa, what's happening? Look at this guy.
I'm telling you, man, it was out riding the Mamba and the Patriot. What's that one ride that goes one way, then it goes backwards? The Boomerang. What were they on?
Boomerang.
Yeah, they were riding the Boomerang. I mean, hey, I'm sure he took her to Prime Social. I'm sure they had a great time. And the Chiefs were like, hey, man, your work release, it's over. Just go back home. We really appreciate all your time. Somebody called Justin Ross. He was a social media superstar. That's a great way of putting it. That's what he was. He was a social media superstar. He was first team Instagram Reels. He was first team TikTok. There's nothing wrong with being first team TikTok. That's what he was. I'm telling you, if we go back and we find those training camp videos, the Chiefs, they're real smart about it, too. They'll put it in 4K and super slow motion against some third string preseason corner. You're like, man, that was a really good catch. You start really thinking. We could go back and we could find those things. I'm saying, I'm not sure if Rees-Zammit, I think he might have been working for the Raiders. Somebody said it. He might have been a spy. He might have been a spy for the Raiders or the Broncos to come here, kind of be cool with the Chiefs, get some information, and then go back.
I think Luis Rees-Zammit's girl was in town longer than he was.
For sure.
They spent a nice long weekend together, and he was unemployed by the end of it.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, Luis Rees-Zammit's the perfect example, though, my point. Whenever there's a player at camp who you've never heard of, and you went to a small school, and the average fan, and sometimes me and you have never seen him play. The minute he shows a dash of something, it's, oh, baby. The scouting department found this kid. He went to this small school. You probably never heard of it. It was Ball State. You're like, what do you mean you never heard of Ball State? Oh, he was balling on Tuesday. Bink always starts talking about him. He's always part of the.
Oh, Bink always falls for this every year.
Deneric Prince is a big one Bink fell for. Like, it's because Bink watches more football, so he sees the guy dominate on Tuesday in Akron and thinks it's going to translate, and the average fan did not watch that Tuesday in Akron and thinks, whoa, he made a great play against number 47, the linebacker I don't know. He must be a star. He's never a star. He's barely ever a contributor. Carson Steele was the biggest training camp win, and he got cut basically from touching the football in week 6.
Who do you think it's going to be this year? I already think I know who it's going to be.
You're right. It's the Clemson kid.
Yeah, it's going to be that Clemson tight end.
It's Bringing Stool.
That's who it's going to be. Jake Bringingstool. I think that's how you pronounce his name. That's going to be the training camp all-star.
Is there a linebacker on my side of America? Because that's always a popular pick.
That's a good one.
I don't know. Because he's gritty. You know, he's a coach's son.
I don't know. I really don't know.
It can't be Leo Chenault, but if there's a Ben Neiman type up there that's just giving it his all.
That's a good one. There's always room for one of those guys. There's always room for Nico Remigio on your team. There's always one roster spot. As much as we talk about the Chiefs and their 53-man roster, their 53-man roster is not set. They got 50 guys that are set, but there's definitely three spots that are open. You just got to go out there and get them. If you have a really good training camp and a good preseason, kind of like Carson Steele, you can make the team. It ain't that many spots available, but they got a spot for you. You better go take it. What did Isaiah Pacheco say? You got to take a grown man job. Jake Bringingstool, he better take a grown man job or at least get him one on the practice squad. That's good living to be on the practice squad. So shout out to Justin Ross, man. Justin Ross, he has asked for his release. The Chiefs granted it, and now he's going to get a chance to get a fresh start somewhere and see if he can make a 53-man roster for another team in the league. Earlier today, we were joined by Missouri's athletic director, Lair Veach. We'll play the best of it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. I want to play this because we were celebrating Missouri earlier today. I got a chance to catch up with the athletic director at the University of Missouri, and we started our conversation with how much of your job as an AD right now is just fundraising. You got to pay for things. You got to pay for facilities. You got to pay players now for NIL. How much of your job is just trying to raise money to pay players?
Yeah, it is a lot. It needs to be. I mean, in the end, you know, that's how I support our coaches and our student athletes is by, you know, helping to provide the resources necessary to compete. And, you know, part of it is certainly generating more and more resources because we've been making some good strides. We're doing a lot of good things, but we still have a lot of ground to make up when it comes to, you know, particularly in the SEC, that is the top of the top. So you're competing with, from a resource standpoint, you know, the wealthiest and most supported institutions and athletic departments in the country. So, you know, you have to be willing to roll up your sleeves and compete and ask for support. I've been super thrilled with how our people are responding to those asks. But we also got to be really smart about how we're investing the money, right? It can't just be drain more and more. It has to be what, you know, smart, difficult decisions are we making to really prioritize our resources, particularly now in this new environment where, you know, those dollars need to go to student athletes and that, you know, that are on the front line that can help you compete and win.
I guess two-part question here, and we'll kind of talk more specifically about the teams. How is your job different from a group of five school like Memphis to now in the SEC? I'm also guessing that your job is very different post-COVID as opposed to pre-COVID. Everybody's job is a little bit different. How have you seen college athletics shift in your time going from a group of five to the SEC and also before and after COVID?
That's a good question. Yeah, the role, I think back to, I first became an athletic director at Memphis, the head job, so to speak, in 2019. So you just think about what's happened over the last 5-6 years in terms of change and focus and you know what you have to be managing every day, and it is dramatically different. Of course, the COVID thing was difficult for all of us, but it required a lot of focus and a lot of management attention on working us through that. And now, you know, with NIL, with transfer portal, with, you know, all the lawsuits and things we're managing these days, that managing that change is critically important, you know. So the day-to-day focus is certainly different in some respects, but in others it's about, you know, relationships, people, having the right people in place. And you know, that's where I look at, you know, being in a Mizzou, how much I appreciate just having so many good people around me on the staff, coaches, you know, the support across campus. It's a place that is very much aligned on being successful and doing what it takes to be successful right now. And we've got a lot of good people to work with to do it. So it makes the job a lot more fun.
Right now, we're talking to Laird Veach. He is the athletic director at the University of Missouri. This is going to sound like a very open-ended question. I'm sure you get asked this all the time. I love college sports. I love college football. I would probably argue at times college football is my favorite sport. I don't really know what the rules are right now. I don't know how long you can stay in college. It seems like any player can make however much amount of money. It seems like you can play for Missouri 1 year, then the next year you can play at LSU, and the next year you can go play at Arkansas. I'm not really sure how the rules are. How are you constantly evolving as an athletic department when the rules just don't really seem clear for anybody?
Yeah, you know, we're obviously going through a massive evolution right now, and in so many ways, we are on a path to professionalizing more and more, right? I mean, I think everybody recognizes that. That's what, you know, and I get questions all the time like, well, why did you guys decide to do that? Well, we didn't really decide to, right? The courts have told us that that's what needs to happen. And at the same time, we didn't really control that change ourselves. So when it gets kind of forced upon you, when that evolution gets forced upon you, it's kind of difficult, right? It's bumpy, it's challenging. You didn't navigate it or decide it yourself, so you're in many ways responding. And, you know, so what we've been really trying to do is focus on how do we use the opportunity to position ourselves and to think differently. And it is a huge opportunity in a lot of ways. It's challenging in some respects. I think the encouraging thing now is that with the House settlement and all the things I'm sure you've been reading about recently with this revenue share that we're able to, you know, compensate and pay student athletes directly for the first time ever, and, you know, we have this cap, and then there's this clearinghouse for any outside, like, real NIL deals that can be possible. We are shifting back as of this moment, you know, as of July 1st, we're shifting back into a more sort of structured, regulated environment, which I think is good. I think, to your point, you know, we've been living in this world where we really haven't had any rules, so to speak. But that's what it certainly felt like, and how we've had to kind of navigate. But now there is at least some structure and some oversight, a new kind of sheriff in town with the Collegiate Sports Commission and you know, them working with Deloitte to put together a really robust program that, you know, I believe has some hope and chance to really bring some level of stability to this whole thing. You know, we're clearly going to continue to evolve and change. We're never going back to what it was. But, you know, hopefully we can get to a point where there is a little more stability in it. And, you know, really for the benefit of the student athletes, now that they're, many of them are going to be compensated directly, you know, how can we find ways to really insert the academic mission back into the conversation and think about their experience as young people beyond the dollar? So we've got to get back to that kind of discussion as well. And I think, you know, getting this settlement done, some of the conversations that are happening at the congressional level will hopefully get to a point where that will provide some stability as well. So I am optimistic that we're going to get into a better time again. It's never going to be the same, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. And I think there's a lot of, you know, exciting opportunity in the changes that are taking place.
There have been a lot of conversations about the model that is going to be used. Do you have an opinion? Do you have an idea of what model we should use to determine who wins the championship in college football?
You know, I don't, and I wouldn't personally describe it as unhappy. I think there was last year, and particularly the latter part of the season, was one of the more exciting and, you know, highly watched years in history, right? If not the. And so I think there's a lot of real good things that have come out of the expansion. I think it's how do we continue to make it better, right? And not necessarily be satisfied with that. I do think there'll be a point of diminishing returns on expansion at some point. I don't know if we're quite there yet. But I do think continuing to look for ways to make it better and better. And, you know, the opportunities that are there and that platform are massive for an institution like Mizzou. If we're able to, you know, compete and get into a college football playoff, particularly if you could think about us being a host of that, first round in the first or second round in the playoff and what that would mean. It's massive, right? So we for all the things we do and invest in, you know, the benefit in so many ways comes back to how it impacts our university, our community, our state, from a brand standpoint, from an economic standpoint, from an enrollment standpoint. So we have to really push for those kind of massive exposure opportunities. And, you know, so we're going to continue to look at that and find ways to expand it and make it even better.
Talking to the athletic director for the University of Missouri for a couple of more minutes here. Let's just start with the football program. It seems like it is in a very, very comfortable place right now. You guys are generating more money than ever before. People are donating. You guys are adding construction and doing these things. You've won double-digit games the last couple of seasons. Your coach is happy. Your coach is in place. It feels like the football program, everything is rolling along fine right now.
Yeah, we are fortunate. We've had some real good momentum success. Coach Drake is an exceptional leader coach. I describe him much more as a CEO type, super intelligent, really relates to players well, great leader, not only for our football program, but for our institution in many ways. So we're super fortunate there. And, you know, but I look at more as it's a start and it's momentum. And, you know, the last thing we can do is get comfortable, right? We've got to continue to elevate, continue to push. You know, we can't be happy with just, you know, winning. We got to now, how do we take that next step, right? How do we get into a college football playoff? How do we continue to work down that path and work towards a national championship? I mean, those are the kind of things we need to be aspiring to. And it takes a lot of investment and a lot of time and a lot of commitment to continue to, you know, to continue to progress like that. But, you know, we're certainly not going to, you know, just accept where we're at. We're going to keep pushing.
Laird, I remember when Kansas didn't want to play Missouri in anything. It was, we don't need to play them. They left the conference. You guys now play Kansas in everything. You play them in basketball. I was at the basketball game earlier this year. I'll be at the football game coming up. You play them in baseball. You play them in hockey. You play them in women's basketball. You guys play KU in just about everything now.
Yeah, I think it's great. I love seeing that competition, that rivalry continue. The athletic director there and I have talked a few times, in many ways want to keep as much of that going as we can. It unfortunately gets complicated at times in scheduling in the future, but I will tell you the intent and the desire is definitely there. And because, we both recognize how important the rivalry is, but, particularly in this day and age when we're all traveling over the country, anything we can do to have, to play more and to play, a true regular season contest. That didn't happen quite yet, but maybe we can get to that down the road.
That was Laird Veach. He was on the show earlier today. He is the athletic director for the University of Missouri. We highly encourage you to check it out. Tomorrow, we're going to have a very heavy K-State day. Chris Kleiman's going to be on the show. Gene Taylor is going to be on the show. Avery Johnson is also going to be on the show tomorrow, the quarterback for the team. So Jerome Tang's going to be on the show. So very excited to celebrate the Kansas State Wildcats tomorrow on the show. Coming up, I have an idea. I want to share it with you. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. I don't need jalapenos with mine. Just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Most of the really cool things that we have in sports, at one point, people laughed at and called a gimmick. Think about it. The three-point contest, people saw it as a gimmick. The three-point line was a gimmick. The shot clock was viewed as a gimmick. Go back and watch basketball games before the shot clock. Wasn't a whole lot of fun. Somebody had the idea like, hey, why don't we speed this game up and just increase possession? No, you can't do that. I mean, it was the right idea. Basketball's better. If you don't believe me, go to a high school basketball game and see what basketball looks like without a shot clock. It ain't that fun. You guys, I'm going to say you guys, that's not fair. Some of you guys, that's better. Some of you guys hated the pitch clock.
Baseball doesn't have a clock. Can't do that. It's you millennials. You and your short attention spans.
The ratings have gone up and up. The pitch clock is a major reason why. Baseball's better. It moves faster. It's the same game. It's just better. I like the ghost runner on second base. I really do. I can't lie to you guys. I like it. I think it's kind of fun. I'm a big fan. I like it. I would be all for them trying this home run idea during the regular season. Now, with the caveat, I don't think this should be the rule all the time for extra innings. I don't think that. I like the ghost runner rule, and I think that's the best rule for regular season games. But you know what I would propose? You remember how we used to do interleague play back in, 2001? Where it was two weekends, basically, where you would play like your crosstown rival, the Subway Series, or, the Dodgers would play the A's or something. I would love if we did that two weekends with this home run rule. Let's just try it and let's see. Let's try it in a real game. I looked this up because I was curious. 10% of Major League Baseball games throughout the course of a year go to extra innings. 10%. So we're not talking about a huge number of games. We're talking about somewhere between like 230 to 240 baseball games across all of the sport go to extra innings. Can we have two weekends and American League stadiums and National League stadiums that we get to see this home run rule for everybody? And let's see what happens in a regular season game. You got enough inventory to do this. How many games do we think are actually decided this way if they did this for two weekends? Maybe five games? Wouldn't you like to see this in a regular season sense? I'd love to see it in a regular season sense. Hey, everybody's available. Let's try this. Let's just try something different. Let's try something unique. Let's have some fun. I tell you guys all the time, baseball's greatest asset is its inventory. There's so many games. So let's try to experiment with some. Let's play some in some cool places. Let's try some different rules for a weekend. You got 162 of these. Trust me, you losing in July because of a home run derby and extra innings, that's not going to be why you missed the playoffs. You had plenty of other chances. You weren't good enough. Let's have a little bit of fun. Let's try some gimmicks. I love it. I love to try some gimmicks in the regular season. I really think this all-star break, this all-star week, I can't sing baseball's praises enough. From start to finish, the home run derby was fun. The game, it got off to a little bit of a slow start, but it was a great comeback. It was a fantastic comeback. We got a chance to see a new way of deciding a winner when we got to extra innings. They did a fantastic job paying respects to Hank Aaron. I mean, this was an A+ all-star break, all-star weekend. I really honestly can't say anything more positive. It was great. I'm all for them trying this idea in the regular season. I'm serious. Two weekends, the same way we did interleague play. Let's try to see, and let's see how many games we get. And I'd love to see this played out in real time. I think it was a fun, creative, innovative way to end a baseball game. I'm not as holier than thou when it comes to overtime rules. You had a chance to win. That's what the regulation is for. As long as the overtime rules are fair for each team, I ain't that mad about it. Both teams have a fair chance of winning the game. And that's all you need. I might disagree with some ideas. Like, I don't love the college football format. I certainly don't love now that we do that silly 2-point conversion rule. That's dumb. But, I mean, both teams, they know the rules going into it. I mean, you got a chance to win. You should have took care of business and regulation. You had 60 minutes to avoid these silly rules, and you didn't do it. So, I just want to throw that out there that I am a fan of the home run derby rule, and I wouldn't mind seeing it. I think it would be kind of cool if we got a chance to see this in a regular season game. I'd be all for it if we got to see it.
I wouldn't mind moving to it, but I don't like the idea of a BP pitcher out there throwing it. Like, give the defending team a chance. Like, make it fastballs only, or you have to throw a strike. Like, do something. But, like, I do think it's gimmicky for, hey, the third base, now that we're tied, the third base coach is going to pitch in the 10th inning. I think you should have a real player forced to pitch, but I don't hate the idea. I also am the kind of person that don't hate the idea of a tie in baseball, but I know that scares people, just gets people shivering.
I would have thought you loved it because this is basically what your soccer does. This is the end of soccer games.
Only in the postseason. They don't do it in the regular season this way, and it's stupid, by the way, for soccer.
I would love for a soccer game to end with a shootout. I'd love it. I went to a soccer game and I was like, wait, hold on, we're just done? We're not going to try to figure out who won this game. We're just done. Didn't make any sense to me. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully you had a lot of fun. Tell your K-State friends. They're really going to like tomorrow's show. I'm excited to talk K-State tomorrow. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.